Welcome to the second New Spirit Radio Show by the Society of Nova Spiritus for Wednesday, August 14th. I am your host, Michael McClellan, with my co-host, Tom Bigley. Hi, Tom.
Welcome. Glad you all could make it here.
Yes, we're excited. We're coming live from San Jose, California, as we will every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And just thank you so much for tuning in. Tom and I are both ministers with the Society of Nova Spiritus and very excited to be hosting the Nova Spiritus New Spirit Radio Show. We are not psychics, and so we don't answer psychic questions. We are spiritual counselors. So a minister really helps administer the philosophy. And hopefully we can answer any questions you may have. We appreciate everyone that's calling in to ask questions. Today, we want to talk about the tenets of Nova Spiritus. We have actually 21 tenets, so we're actually not going to be able to get through all of them, but the tenets are what our whole spiritual belief is upon. Their whole foundation, our movement, resides upon these tenets, and to understand them is very important because actually they're pretty literal meanings. But these words can give you great comfort and ease your soul when you're in dire straits. Sylvia talks to us about being Gnostic Christians, which is seeker after truth and knowledge. And the whole Gnostic Christian premise of Gnosticism is with no guilt, no sin, no judgment, and positive spiritual philosophy. So I guess without any further ado, not Sylvia live, we have audio clips, so it's almost the next best thing. We appreciate her being on our show last week. She was a wonderful guest for the whole hour, and she will be on again. But we do have a lot of information, a lot of audio clips from Sylvia and her spirit guide Francine, and also master teacher and healer Raheem. So let's listen to what Sylvia's intro is. We'll go ahead and push the button. Is it ready to start?
Absolutely.
It's not playing. We are still getting used to this radio show and the controls here, so let's see if we can get this to go on.
I want to talk to you about the tenets, because I think this is the whole foundation of which our church resides on. Even though when you read the tenets, it seems to be that it is so forgiving and so loosely hung together. And I want you to understand these tenets for the words that they say, because they are literal meaning. And I want you to read them every once in a while, because I think that these words, they give me such great comfort. And when I'm in dire straits, I read down and it seems like there is something for me at that time to ease my soul or help me.
So that's our introduction. That's Sylvia spoke years ago. Some of you may be familiar with this information if you started a study group. And we wanted to share this with more people. So I thought this was a really nice introduction from Sylvia. The other thing that we want to find out is, you know, who's got questions about the tenets. And you can either chat or you can call in. We'll be screening calls and getting questions from people, even, you know, bringing them on and talking with them. So you want to start with the tenet number one? Do you want me to start
Let's
that?
Go ahead and I'll... Sure, let's go ahead and read the first tenet. The tenet number one of Nova Spiritus is, the way of all peace is to scale the mountain of self. Loving others makes the climb down easier. We see all things darkly until love lights the lamp of our souls. And let's go ahead and hear what Sylvia says about tenet number one.
The first one is, the way of all peace is to scale the mountain of self. The love of others makes the climb down easier. We see all things darkly until love lights the lamp of the soul. Now you say, oh, that sounds like a pretty poem. Francine gave that to us many years ago. We're always saying to someone, people are always saying to me, Sylvia, how do I find peace of mind? How do I find true inner happiness? The only way you can do it is to get out of yourself. If you get too earthbound, too much in yourself, you're going to become closed off, morose, unhappy, depressed, and down and ill. You see, we were never supposed to inhabit this, not totally. This was what a car is to the person. So are we the car? No, no. We are the driver of that vehicle. But you see, what happens is we become part of the car, don't we? And when we get our fender smashed, we go, what? Ow! That's stupid. That fender has nothing to do with you. Now, there is a fine line between this, as always everything. Isn't there always another side of the coin? If you get too ethereal, guess what happens? You get a bite on the eye, you get a pinch in the, you know what, you get something that says get back in. So there is a fine line of trying to remember to keep yourself a little bit in and a little bit out. And how you do this is you think of yourself sort of always, and I mean this sincerely, about 4 inches away from your body. And think of it that way. When you go to bed at night, say, God, please keep me 4 inches. You're still there on call, but you're not omnipresent. Now, we know this is true when we talk about anesthetics, we talk about running, we talk about exercise, we talk about everything that has to do with endorphins. What I think happens is that the body gets to such a point of pain or agony, and I know because I work out, that you go out of your body is what happens. But that's really what it's trying to show us, isn't it? Don't be so omnipresent in the body. You know yourself, and I've said this many times, if you're alone too much, you sit around and think too much, what happens? You get real depressed. And yes, let somebody call you from the outside, let Kim call me and tell me something or whatever, then I'm all excited because she's broken through what? The barrier of myself. And me turning my focus towards her or Sandy or whoever, I am now loving them, and I'm not so concerned about my backache or my earache or if my kids love me or what happened to my marriage or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? I got out of that because everything takes care of itself whether you like it or not, and it will. And I'm convinced the older I get, the more I do readings, that most things left alone will work themselves out one way or the other. It doesn't mean we don't confront. Don't get me wrong, because there's some things that face us directly and we have to. The evilness that comes to us in life, we have to do it. But most of the time, we don't have to. It's like the great philosopher said that I've quoted to so many of my clients, when in doubt, don't do anything. No, because a lot of times the thing will move you along. Somebody said to me the other day, Sylvia, I don't think it's right maybe that I come to you. Maybe I should live my own chart. And I said, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with when you're lost to stop at a gas station and ask for directions, is there? And I think that's what we all are, the ministry. We're gas stations. And when you're lost, you can't read the map, and you men are the worst about stopping, aren't you? We sit there and say, honey, would you please? No, I can find it 4 hours later. It is a personal vendetta to men, isn't it? I don't have to stop and ask anybody because I'm macho. Because when I go in the gas station, all the gas attendants are going to say, isn't he a wimp? He had to come in here and ask for directions. And if they did, you're never going to see him again anyway. Who cares? But anyway, okay.
That's pretty funny. Of course, now we have a GPS, so thank goodness. I still don't have to ask for directions. But tenet number one is basically your own journey through life of self-discovery. And it seems the largest obstacle to us is ourself, with our doubts and worries and inhibitions. So to truly be yourself, you have to break through those limitations imposed upon ourselves. And the best way to do that is to focus your energy outward toward others. By getting out of yourself, you will indeed find yourself serving others. So Tom, do you want to go ahead and take a call?
Yeah, hang on here. Let me... Hi, you're on the air. Who am I talking with?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes.
This is Tom. And what's your first
Hello.
Name?
My name is Mario.
Great. And where are you? What state are you calling from?
I'm from Florida.
Great. Did you have a particular question you wanted to ask regarding the tenants?
Yes. Which is the tenant most people ask about, that come and ask you guys about? Is there one that sticks out the most?
To me, it's more of the reverse of it. It's what issues are they dealing with and which ones to reference or which ones to talk about with them. But if you want to, I guess now that I think about it, you know, the one that's most talked about is tenant one, you know, scaling them out in the self, because we're doing, you know, to me, that's most of what we're doing in our daily lives. We're learning about ourselves. We're going through our daily grind and learning what makes us, you know, better. How do we better ourselves? How do we get through the hard times? That's about, you know, scaling the mountain of self. And
right.
When you've overcome that, as it was talked about, when you've overcome, it's coming down the hill. It's easier, and then loving others just makes that experience so much richer for yourself.
Right. That's great. Do you guys see it, like, ask more and more? Like, is it increasing as time goes by? Or?
No, not necessarily.
No?
We get such a variety of people coming to us asking for, you know, spiritual counseling. So, no, it doesn't necessarily, you know, come more often. It's just everybody's different.
Right. Well,
got any other questions?
It's great to see that others, you know, are asking that, and it's probably one of my favorite it is my favorite. I was just hearing you talk about it. I was like, wow, it's so great to hear more and more of this coming out, because I think that's really what is needed at this time, you know, being of service, and it's good to know more people out there are inquiring about that.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're excited to be sharing this with more people, especially on the internet like we are. And of course, people that are listening, you can go to novus.org. We have the tenants listed there for anybody to read it at any time.
Right. That's great. Amazing. Well, thank you for all you guys do and for spreading the message out there. It's really inspiring, I think, to many people out there.
Well, thank you.
Well,
all right.
You guys have a great night.
All right. You too. Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Well, good. Should I go to the next caller?
Sure.
Okay. Let's take another caller and see what they've got. See what they want to know.
You can take
Hi.
To the
this
council.
Is.
Remember, that would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous.
Hello.
Isn't that crazy? Have a couple of shots.
I guess that they're not listening right now, so I'm going to put them back on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's entertaining. Hi, this is Tom.
Well,
you're on the air. Who am I speaking with? Hello? They must be listening
okay,
on
maybe
the computer. What?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We got somebody that came in on the chat, and from Esteban Lopez. Hi, Tom and Michael. My name is Steven. My question is, how do we come about these tenets? Are they morals or truths that come from the other side? Yes, they are, Esteban. They have actually. We are so blessed that Sylvia is a full trans medium, and of course, her growing up and Francine always answering all her questions, and then her being able to do a, you know, information trances that we would transcribe and then we would put it in the books. So, yes, this information does come directly from the other side, from Francine, Sylvia's spirit guide. And we thank you for your question. And let's go ahead and go on with tenant number two.
All right, I'll start tenant number two here.
this sounds like a really broad, the second tenet is, whatever thou lovest, lovest thou. And that's true. And you say, no, no, Sylvia, wait a minute, I've had people say, but I love Joe and Sam and Pete and Susie and whatever, and they didn't love me. What you don't understand is when you give love out, and it doesn't come back to you through Sam, Pete, or Betty, or Susie, or whatever, it'll come back to you through Janice or Harry. And we are so stupid. Listen to me. We are so stupid, all of us. Somebody over here is barking, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we say, yeah, I know, but I'm over here thinking about this. Love comes back because the key phrase is whatever you love. Whatever you love loves you, because love becomes a swirling, magnificent, marvelous volcano that erupts and pours on you. It would be like everything in my life falling down and saying, I don't have any love in my life, and then looking out and knowing that there are some of you out there that love me, and I love you. I love all of you. Well, how stupid of me not to know that, and you don't love each other. Of course you do. You see, that's what the Gnostic movement is a heart, a beating heart of love. And you've got to be able to approach that beating heart. If we have any strength at all, it is a beating heart of love that we have. And people say to me, I came back to be rejuvenated, I came back to plug in. That's what we want. Come in and plug into us. Get filled up, the tank of gas. Get your love, and then go out and whip the world with one hand tied behind your back. Don't be so concerned about, do you have Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, whoever. Because there's so many Mr. and Mrs. and Miss Right. We always think, because I don't have a warm next to me all the time, I am not loved. And we shoot through life like a falling star, and that's all we are. It's one little star in the heavens that crosses. And while we go, we ought to create some friction. And the friction in the stratosphere is to create light. And to make that light, we have to love. And I love when people say, a woman said to me, a trellis when I was here last, who can I find to love? I want it so bad to say, look around you. Reach to the person next to you. Have you ever noticed, I have actually been with strangers in a place and reached over and grabbed somebody's hand. I have never once, ever, had anybody turn their hand away from me. I said, but I feel embarrassed. Why? What are you going to get as a no? Big deal. Get no's all the time.
I like how Sylvia said, plug in. And one of the purpose of the New Spirit radio show by Nova Spiritus is to be connected with all of our Gnostic family all over the world. And it's nice that an internet radio show can be listened to anywhere in the world. And anyone can call in and ask questions, or you can even write a chat in. Chat in a question if you'd like to. But I like that we are keeping connected, especially some of the Gnostic folks out there that are out there in the middle of nowhere having a hard time having other people join a study group. At least, you know, we can be connected here. Tom?
Absolutely. Any you know, we get questions in our study group. I host a study group as well. And it's always fun to talk with other people to say, well, okay, what's your experience with these with the tenants or any of the other information, you know, that Sylvia has shared with us and Francine has shared with us. Write in or call in, and we'd be glad to. It's a lot of fun to discuss things and say, okay, what does this mean to you? And in addition to that, when we're discussing something, that's going to trigger ideas and thoughts for other people that are listening in. So it's always the fun, Silly talks about, the stupid question is the one that's not asked. So, and Francine has told us for many years ask. The intelligence is about knowing what questions to ask, and that we don't ask enough, and it's for us to be able to help people. We got to encourage questions to say, okay, how can I help you? How can I, what are the issues? And the more questions that get asked of us, the easier it is for us. We, you know, we just have lots of information from being ministers for so long. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. Michael enjoys it, getting this information out.
Definitely. It's wonderful to be part of the most positive spiritual movement on the planet and not have to do the sin and guilt and hellfire and damnation and devil stuff. You know, talking to my mom, and, you know, sometimes some people are so into, you know, the scriptures and the Bible being the holy word of God. And it's like, what? You know, come on. You know, it's let's just be happy, live a positive spiritual life, you know, love ourselves, love God, love others, like Christ said, and you know, live a spiritual life. So are you ready to go on? Let's go to tenet number 3.
Yeah, here we go.
I love the third one. This is so wonderful, and this slices across the face of any religion that has anything that can stand against us in this. Do not give unto God any human pettiness such as vengeance, wrath, or hate. Negativity is man's alone. Don't be putting our petty, silly, goofy things on God, because you know what that does? That diminishes God. And our God is a supreme, omnipotent, loving, perfect entity. He is not besought by any stupid vengeance, negativity. I am constantly amazed that people with that don't think, even when you read the Bible, any Gnostic text, whatever, think. Because the main thing is, don't you see, that if God was going to be so vengeful towards the Ammonites, why? Didn't he make the Ammonites as well as he made the Samaritans, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin? Of course he did. So, but God was supposed to get mad at the Ammonites, so he killed 30,000. Don't put that kind of vengeance on God. Don't play favorites. Don't make God play favorites. Now, we do know that the aspect of us rising to meet God, we become chosen because why? Because we choose God. And that's really what the chosen meant. The chosen meant that they chose God. Not that there was a special group of people that ran around that only God loved and no one else. But you see, as you ascend higher to God, you do become elitist because you know why? Because love makes you elitist. If God becomes your focus, guess what? God also realizes that you're the focus. But you have to ascend to God. God is always omnipresent with all of us. But to climb that mountain of self and to climb the negativity in this world that is man-made, not God-made, then we have to get out of ourselves and ascend towards God and be chosen. Because why? Because we choose God.
Very well put. You know, she talks about the human pettiness, such as vengeance, wrath, or hate, is not God. Sometimes you hear that people think that God is punishing them, you know, or they go away from God because of the challenges or lessons that they are going through in their life. When it's not God doing it, it's our choice, our lessons, you know, that we charted to learn through and to get through. And if, like, we ascend to God and petition, especially Mother God, Asna, she does create miracles. We're always writing petitions. We write them at the Sunday services. And also, I write them every day. And I go outside here in the office and burn them. So don't give that stuff to God. It's not God. It's our choice to go through it.
And it reminds me of, you know, when I tell people, you know, introduce them to the philosophy, we write a script or a chart of experiences that we wanted to have, the good and the bad. And we give those experiences to Father God so that he can play those scenarios out around us so that we can have those experiences. When people are going through horrific things such as a loss of a loved one or something that's emotionally difficult to deal with, no, we're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, but that was your chart. Well, you can stop and ask when some time has passed, stop and ask, what was the lesson that I was supposed to learn? What was I supposed to learn from that? And, you know, wait, you quiet your mind and wait to hear the message, or maybe you'll get it in a different form, whether it's a message from a book or something of that nature. Everyone's different of how they're going to get messages, but you can ask for, you know, what the lesson is about. It's, again, we've charted these experiences as horrific as it seems. You know, even in our study group, it's mind-boggling sometimes to think of why would somebody chart to experience being murdered, or it's not all dark entities that commit murder. Some people are light entities that commit murder. They charted to have that experience, and so you might stop and think, okay, why would they have? Well, it's about gaining experience. It's a curiosity. On the other side, some of us had, you know, we've got a wide variety of curiosities, and so we write our charts around those curiosities.
Or lessons. I think the example I use is a little Kevin Collins boy that, was kidnapped and murdered, and, you know, that's a horrible, you know, situation. But if you look at all the good with the Kevin Collins Foundation, all the good that came out of that, you know, with all the children being found or, you know, more protected, there was a lot more good than that one sacrificial life that Kevin said, yeah, I'll go down and be the person to instigate all the good that will come out of this. Okay, well, should we go on to tenet number 4?
Great. Okay, here it goes.
Number 4, create your heaven, not a hell. You are a creator made from God. Milton said this. Many authors have said this in many ways over all the centuries, that within every man is a heaven and a hell. And I think man, in his theological wanderings, whether it was St. Thomas Aquinas or whether it was St. Augustine, whether it was even Sartre in his existentialism, all man tried to find out really what was the evil or the bad or the dark side. And so what did he do? He created a hell. But the hell is what? Here. This is where hell is. There's no red-suited anybody waiting for you in a pit. Trust me when I tell you. Because what are we making of God? A cartoon? A caricature of something? Not only that, but we made him evil, haven't we, by this silly stuff and a burning pit. Now, like I've said to you many times, how many times, if you have anybody that you love, and I don't care, let's say a child, which we're all children of God and part of God, and we are God, what could a child of yours do anything bad enough, anywhere, no matter how much it hurts you, that you'd want an eternity of burning? What? There's nothing. Now, take our minuscule mind and magnify that more than we could ever even dream of into infinity, God's mind, and his forgiveness and his love. And then we have the right to say that he made a hell? No. This is hell. This is the dark planet. This is where we came. This is where the dark entities reside. This is their dominion. But there's no pit in which burn. They just keep coming back into life. Don't you understand that? They never go to the other side, and that's fine with us because we don't want them, do we? We had a really neat discussion the other night, Linda and Larry and I, at 1:30 at Caro's. And we got on the subject of, and I've always wrestled with this, the idea of judgment. We have to be so careful. There's nobody in this world, trust me when I tell you, that I know of that gets any more judging than I do. I get it from parishioners. I get it from, not so much from my ministers, God love them. I get it from everybody outside, judgment. And that doesn't bother me because I've learned to insulate myself from a lot of that. But I always think on these people that are judging, where do they come from? And myself included, I have to watch myself very carefully because unless you are riding that dark horse the way they're riding it, unless you're walking in their shoes, unless you know where their soul is, How do you have the right to go up and tell them how wrong and how bad and how lousy and how much you are the warden of the word? Where? Where does the ego come in on this? I have a real problem judging. I keep saying to myself every day of my life, I want to judge just the actions, and that's hard, isn't it? Because these people that do awful, horrible things to people, don't you think in your mind, in dark moments, boy, I'd like to slice them and torture them, and these people that hurt kids and all that, but you can't, can you? Because you have to, this lovely lady said to me today, like I said to you, give that forgiveness up to God. It keeps so much away from you having to deal with that. People want to judge the church, they want to judge the ministers, they want to judge me. Why don't you try it then? Try this. We even want to judge the president. Maybe we ought to try that too. Although, well. But that's human, see? That's human. And we might not like the actions of what happened. And Francine says the only way you can ever trust anything is the actions after a person dies. What has been created by that? Has there been nothing but pain and heartache and schism and no help and no comfort? See, I can't say that about us. People are coming up to us constantly and saying, without you, thank you. I'm talking about the ministers too, because they, trust me, they're Gnostic class, their attendance at church, they're omnipresent, they're always here. I always call up and know they're here. God love them. Do you know how tirelessly they work for you? They are absolutely God sent. And I've told you before, they get no pay. Do you understand? They get nothing except what they want to do for this church. Do you think that's not a blessing from God that they are? Absolutely. And their perfection, I know, is A1. I'm going to judge that right now because I know their souls and their hearts. And I know what they've been through with me.
All right, Sylvia, thank you for that plug. We appreciate that. That's funny. But I did want to mention, she was talking about dark entities, you know, dark souls. That, you know, we do believe there are evil people and that they do not make the transition to the other side. When they die, they actually get recycled, or they go through the left door to the holding area and get recycled right back into Earth. And that eventually, when this schematic of this Earth is over, they will just be absorbed back into God and lose their individuality. So that's what happens with dark entities. They just keep reincarnating and for our own evolvement. We do have a question on the chat room. I'm sorry, Tom, go ahead.
I was going to say that it reminds me of Montel used to always tell Sylvia, tell them skin. It's not the skin. It's about the soul.
Yes, dark entities as opposed to light entities. And the question from the chat room is from Bo. It says, hi there, Tom and Michael. I do have a question in regards to evil. See, we know we are surrounded by evil every single day. So what tenet acknowledges the evil we're meant to face and in what way? I don't really use the word evil that much. I know that, we know this is the negative planet. This is where negativity abounds and travels faster than positivity. And so I don't really look at it as evil as much as just, you know, negative. And a lot, there's different tenets that basically just faces the positive as opposed to, having to deal with the negative. So I think as we go through that, Bo, that you'll find out which one, you know, you resonate more than the other ones. Tom?
I missed half of the question. I apologize. Can you read that again?
He said that in regards to evil, we know we are surrounded by evil every single day. So what tenet acknowledges the evil we're meant to face and in what way?
Oh, acknowledges. Okay. That's a tough one. Yeah. We don't have one that's necessarily pointed at evil. Because evil comes to us and or comes into our lives, or negativity comes into our lives for different reasons, usually, you know, a disruption of some kind. So if the lesson is about, you know, challenging yourself, how do you deal with the the person or the circumstances. You know, of course, there's tenet one that says you're scaling the mountain of self. You're learning about how tough you are, how, you know, testing the metal of the soul.
Yeah, or another tenet, that we're a light in a lonely, dark desert that enlightens many. So we'll focus mainly on the positive, facing the adversities of life. So we're doing real good. We're going to get through at least a third of the tenets. Should we go ahead, number five?
Yeah, I'm glad you're keeping count, because sometimes I lose track of numbers here. We're going through so much here. So here goes number five.
Turn thy power outward, not inward, for therein shines the light and the way. Now that's an interesting thing, to turn your power outward. Do you know how I found that that works? You smile. You say, oh, that's so simple. No, no. Don't you know that if eyes are the windows of the soul, the smile is the opening of that door? Don't you know that? You could smile with your eyes, but until your lips open, you don't open any door, do you? It's probably the one opening in our whole body that puts out and doesn't take in. Do you realize that? All the others either take in or insert in. But this one is just pure shining outward. Nothing's expected from that, but I dare you to ever watch somebody smile and you not smile back. The meanest crosses face if you smile. They've got to smile. They've got to break into it. I remember when I was a little girl and I was sitting in the front seat. I used to get to church real early. And in those days, being in a Catholic school with a little beanie and a plaid skirt on, my dad had to drop me off at St. James Cathedral every morning because we lived so far from the church. And so I was always in the front row, and I remember every morning I watched this old lady with a black cloth coat and beautiful white hair walk up to the big crucifix, kneel down, and then she'd walk across and light a candle to the infant Jesus of Prague. And every morning I would watch her. And even as a child, I was very psychic about people, and I knew she had a bad hip, but I, you know, sitting there, nothing to do, I figured I'd do a reading on her to myself. So every morning, and I knew how sad she was, and every morning she would walk by, and I would smile at her. And this must have gone on for almost the whole school year. And I never will forget, she walked up to me, and she leaned over the pew, and she said to me, your smile is the only thing that has kept me going in all the darkness. She said, I have lost two sons. And she said, your face, your smile in this dark church. And I thought then, if that's what that means, and I kept that with me always, not because I smiled at her, because she gave me something back. I was so proud, so happy that day. So turn it outward. Turn the smile outward. Reach that hand. That's what fingers are for. Reach that hand towards each other. Love each other. The time is so short. Even if you live to be 80 years old, wouldn't you rather be on the right side of things than the wrong side of things? Wouldn't you rather say, damn, I did it out of love, and I did it out of caring, and I helped as many people as I could, than to say, no, I just took care of myself and just shot through and never caused one bit of light. I never smiled. I was nothing but a meteor that just dropped. And you want to be a star that shoots and sprays like a firecracker.
That is true. It's always always fun to smile and treat people in a fun, positive way. I know when I go into restaurants or I go pick up lunch, these people they enjoy me coming in there. My nickname is something like the Mexican place or whatever is Miguelito, and so they go, hi Miguelito, and they always give me bigger servings and whatever, and they're always happy to see me. So it's always fun to shine your light and spread your joy.
And true, that follows along one of teachings out of the Bible is about, don't hide your light, don't hide your light, get it out and let it shine. we're about, you know, putting out, not turning power inward on ourselves.
Also, mentioning lights, actually, at the spiritual services, we're going to be having the Festival of Lights, High Holy Day celebration this Sunday, the 18th. And for all the study groups out there, we did include the ceremony and the prayers and meditation in the study group newsletter. And for people that are on sylviabrown.com, we did put it in the newsletter that should be actually published any day here on her website, sylviabrown.com, if you are a Inner Circle member. Or you can always call the office, and I can email it to you. I have a direct number, is 408-440-3266. I do work at the office here for Nova Spiritus, so give me a call, 408-440-3266. And maybe if we have time, we'll go ahead and do the Festival of Lights meditation toward the end of this program today. Anything else, Tom?
Nope.
All right, well, let's go ahead and number six.
Yep, okay. Here we go.
In faith, be like the wind chimes. Hold steady until faith, like the wind, moves you to joy. That's what I was saying to you before. Sometimes don't move at all. Be perfectly still. Because in stillness, that's why the world has always said, pray. See, prayer is talking to God. Meditation is hearing God. Be very still sometimes. People always say, Sylvia, I don't do my meditation. What? Sit down for a few minutes, take a deep breath and say, okay, my intellect and emotion are cemented together. Hit it, God. Give me the message. It'll come. Please, we're always expecting, hi, my name is Susie Q. Come on. It comes from your guide. But you're not quiet enough. You're not still enough. You haven't stilled your mind. There's too much of it. Don't you walk around with that rattle in your... I do. All that noise, all that commotion, all those thoughts, all that firing going on. Sometimes I have to say, just be still. Be quiet. My heart is beating. I'm breathing. I'm sweeping, literally, with a white broom, the corridors of my mind. Now, the next thing that comes down the corridor of my mind is a message. And I will accept that message. We say we never get any reciprocity from God because you don't listen. You don't know where it's coming from. I've said to people, watch this. Watch. They'll come back to me 6 months later and say, is that what you meant? Read my lips. I said, read my lips. No. And I'm on a human plane, and so are you. How many mothers in this room can say, I told the kid, right? Did they hear you? How about how many times have you told a friend? You want to say, that's what I told you, he's no good. Did they? No. So why do we expect to hear God? We don't hear each other. We don't even hear ourselves talk. If we did, we'd shut up. Some of us.
So does that mean, Michael, that we need to shut up?
Never.
Okay, good. That was just reminding me of, you know, when you're waiting for information or asking for guidance and direction, you know, it's taken me time to teach myself to quiet my mind. So I recognize, one, when I'm quiet, and two, what are the messages being infused into me instead of me thinking? And it's taken time to do that, but it's learnable, it's doable, and it's surprising what comes to mind. And it kind of goes along the lines too of similar to, and learning how to get it to happen more often. Is when you're working on a problem in your head, and it's like your mind is going na 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 na, and no solution comes to mind, and so you go off and do something else. You change your thought process, and out of the blue, it seems like this idea pops in your head. Well, that's the infusion, it was a quieter time. Your mind or your guide probably thought you had a quieter mind, so let's try and introduce it at that time so that it's, you know, gets your attention. You go, oh, there's my solution. So the more you learn to quiet your mind, you'll recognize, at least I've learned to recognize, the difference between when I'm, consciously thinking versus when an infused idea comes in. And that's, you know, it's a lot of fun to work with that.
It is. I know when I first started working at the office here, and, you know, if I'm, but you're right, sometimes we need to be quiet and kind of listen and feel what the, you know, guidance we're getting, because sometimes, you know, I would know things, but I wouldn't, you know, go along with it or follow it. And of course, you know, then of course, then it happened. It's like, darn, Michael, come on, you know, listen. And if you're kind of feeling it or knowing something, then, you know, go with it. But it's always fun to do that.
An interesting thing recently along the lines of quieting the mind is I took that idea a step further, just me personally, by, you know, in our philosophy, we learn about how the emotion is the mover. Well, I learned to quiet my mind and get answers. And I said, wait a minute. Okay, if emotion is the mover, I want to relearn how to, you know, what do I want to do next? Learn for myself, what do I want to do next? Not just ideas popping in my head. So I quieted myself, let myself sit and waited. And I said, okay, I'm just going to let myself do the next thing that I feel like going and doing. And that took some time to, you know, quiet myself and recognize that, okay, you know what, I give myself permission to do absolutely nothing. And I also give myself permission, you know what, the next thing that I want to get up and do, I'm going to get up and do it.
All right, and we like to take the calls, and we have Janet from New Mexico is on the line. Go ahead, Janet. What's your question or comment?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm not sure if I have anything. This has to do with Sylvia Brown's church, and the gentleman I'm speaking to are whom?
This is Michael and Tom.
And you represent Sylvia in which way?
We are both ministers with the Society of Nova Spiritus. I've been here over 27 years. Tom's been here over 20 years. So we are also on the board of directors and cardinals, and just trying to spread the good, positive spiritual philosophy of Nova Spiritus through the New Spirit Radio Show.
Oh, okay. Now I know what I'm working with. You all, there's not much to talk about, because the fact is as you say, and Sylvia, you've got to calm yourself down, and it's one of the hardest things to do, because your mind's always going, and you've always got 10 things going on in the real world.
Yes, yes, it is a challenge.
And when you less try, how do I say, when you less expect something to come across, that's when it comes across. When you forget
True.
About trying, it comes across. And then you go, oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that's kind of like what Tom just said. Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Janet, for your call. We appreciate your call and listening. And New Mexico is a beautiful place to live, huh?
Oh, yes, it is. It's very beautiful, and the seasons are gorgeous, and the rocks, the mountains and the rocks are reddish clay color. It is very beautiful. I live right behind me is a forest, and right to the side of me is a lake. And you don't find this kind of stuff too often in California or other states. And, it's a very peaceful state.
Excellent. Thank you, Janet, for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. Oops. Didn't mean to cut her off there. Okay, Tom. Are we get the number 7 in?
All right. Hang on here and go.
Number 7. Know that each life is a path winding towards perfection. It is the step after step that is hard, not the whole of the journey. If you stop and think, and let me give you an example of this. My grandmother, some would say, was saddled with a son who had cerebral palsy. From the time that he was born, he was totally not incapacitated because he had a wonderful mind, but he couldn't do things that other people could do. And so for 52 years of his life and her 87, 52 of his, she took care of him. And I used to say to her, Grandma, even though I love brother with all my heart, we all call him brother, wasn't it difficult? She said, no, it's just one step at a time. She said, and when I look back over it, and isn't that true? When we look back over having children or losing a job or any of the other things that have been painful, does it really all matter that much? If we could get ourselves, like I've told you before, above the body and not into the body, and realize that all this passes away eventually, and this step-by-step doesn't mean anything. But I'll tell you what is important is to grit your teeth and just go through it. Don't fall over. The falling over is what's bad. Now you say, well, what about resting? Well, that's a different thing. Falling over, giving up, is something else. I don't want to do this. Don't you think that there's some mornings that all of us, including myself, we don't want to get up? We don't want to do it, do we? Put those feet over the side of the bed and you say, oh, no. This is a morphic resonance of what was yesterday. I don't want to do this again. But that's what it's made up of. You see, the big swords in life, pretty much we can handle because that's crisis. But you know what really gets us is the pinpricks, the everyday nitpicky things, the fact that you can't be alone or you can't have peace of mind or you can't get away from your own body, you can't get away from your busy mind. That's what's so tough. Haven't you ever wanted to take a vacation from yourself? Yes, can't. All locked in there, isn't it? When that happens, take a deep breath, put the white light of the Holy Spirit around you and say, I'm going to get through this one too. What do they tell us when we're having a baby or a surgery, right? You'll get through this and what'll happen? You'll get better, won't you? That's what life is a constant flow of incisions. It really is. To get rid of this, to get rid of that, cut this away, hone that down, take that out. And if you realize that yes, and I too will survive this because the God inside of you, the Christ consciousness, the Holy Spirit, will not let you fall if you don't let go of that cord. And try to keep your mood up. That's so important because nobody wants to be around someone who's miserable. You say, well, if I'm miserable, everybody should know it. No, they shouldn't. That doesn't mean you keep hostility locked in because that causes cancer. But don't always be because negativity, I'm telling you, my dear friends, breeds on negativity. Because negativity is more powerful on this side. So we get negative and down and depressed and mean, and what happens? We want to know why everybody else is mean and nasty and depressed. Because, unfortunately, we've caused that. Now, that's not guilt, that's a fact. Negativity spreads. It's like measles. It goes right through. So take it one step at a time. We've heard that so many times, haven't we? But it's one step, 1 hour, one moment. We're so busy worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't enjoy today.
That's true. Sometimes we just don't live in the now. We're too worried about tomorrow or worried about what happened yesterday. So we do have one more caller on the air that wanted to ask a question. And let's go ahead. And go ahead, you're on the air. Is it Marcy in Pennsylvania?
Yes, Marcy. Yeah. My question is, I know that Sylvia's taught that before we come over, we always make a life chart about what we're going to do during this lifetime. My question is, when it gets too much, can we just change that, go in a different direction?
Well, we can modify it somewhat, but basically what you charted is, you know, what you agreed to go through, what lessons you agreed to go through. But Sylvia says that, you know, we can petition the Mother Goddess, Asna, And if we're supposed to have an accident, you know, instead of having a head-on, we can have a fender bender, you know, so we can still get the lesson without, you know, so much of the trauma, hopefully. So, no, you probably will be going through that if she says, you know, you'll have an accident, but just ask Asna to get you through your desert period so you can, you know, learn the lesson and get on and get out of the desert period.
Yeah, I kind of had collision after collision after collision. I know this is my last life, so I think I'm going out with a bang on this one.
Well, good. Excellent. All right, well, Marcy, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too.
Okay, I mentioned I wanted to go ahead and do a little meditation, the Festival of Lights meditation. And this is what we'll be doing on Sunday at the Spiritual Celebration. And it starts, if you're driving, of course, you know, we don't want you to meditate, so be careful. Hopefully you're at home and you can relax a little bit. And I want you to think of your soul stretching itself and moving. The soul moves and expands and majestically magnifies the Lord. As it expands, it reaches far out into the sky. You are aware of tiny stars around you. And as you get closer, you see that it is not stars at all, but beautiful white-robed entities. Archetypes, past loved ones, coming toward you with their lighted candles. And you are rushing to meet truly what you call the hosts of heaven. You see these glorious entities and your guide there with their gold and white and purple robes and their candles lit, showing their smiling, warm, welcoming faces. Then as you walk closer to them, you feel the protection of all the Gnostics and all the true Christians that have gone before, of all the true and the tried and the loyalty and the synergism of love that passes from these hosts of heaven. And above all this, the Queen of Heaven, Asna, appears golden and shining, her beautiful long hair glowing, the mantle on her head, and her purple cloaks blowing in the breeze, standing above all. You feel yourself surrounded by the peace and tranquility of God. You offer what is in your heart, your thanksgiving, and even your sorrows. Bring them up, and with a wave of just one light of one candle, it all passes. Today's hurts are tomorrow's forgiveness. And you feel that your soul, in your mind, and in your heart, your candle has been lit. Lit by the Trinity, and you carry out of here that light, and you pass it to everyone you meet. You give off the light of love in the richness and truest form of belief in God, Mother and Father God, the loving God that smiles upon all of us, the constant God and the Goddess. So in this dark sky that has been illuminated by all, the souls and loved ones and protectors that form around you now is a band of protection that no one can hurt you. No one can send bad to you. No one can give you ill. And even if anyone that wishes ill for you cannot penetrate the barrier that has been surrounded you tonight. Coming back feeling absolutely wonderful, you've never felt before. 1, 2, 3. Any last words, Tom?
Thank you, Michael. That was really good. And I really enjoyed the meditations, especially at church. And it's one of those, oh my God, that was, you know, I needed that. And you come out of it, and it's like, okay, it takes you a minute to start up again when we're doing church services to you know, come out of a meditation, but it's still fun and refreshing as well.
Okay, well, we thank everyone who's tuned in to our second New Spirit radio show by Novus Spiritus. Next week, we will continue the tenets of Novus Spiritus. I know that Sylvia does want to be on again, so sometimes we're not going to know ahead of time to promote it, and she'll just be here. And I think also her son, Christopher, wants to be on to answer questions. I used to do the radio show on Hay House with Sylvia and Christopher, and that was a lot of fun. We had a good time, and they answered lots of questions, helped a lot of people. They're both having great specials on their readings. Right now, if you mention summer savings, you save an additional $25. You can call the office, 408-379-7070. 408-379-7070. And we want to continue to have a very informative radio show. And continue to have audio clips from Sylvia, Francine, and Raheem. Tom was talking about his study groups. We do want to, you know, have study groups. Talk about study groups or have the study group folks call in. Talk about hypnosis, past life regression, psychic development, spirit guides and angels, and the high holy days that we celebrate. So I'm your host, Michael McClellan, with my co-host, Tom Bigley. Do you have any last words, Tom?
Thank you all for listening. We enjoy this ourselves. I hope we've, you know, all given you something you can carry on with. It's always fun to share the information, and you get something, you know, for your mind to chew on for this week. As we do with study groups, you know, you read information, and it's like, oh, you've read it a second time. Well, it sounds different the second time, and so now you've got more food for thought to carry over the week.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I was just getting that ready, but good. So, all right, thank you for listening in, and we'll look forward to talking with you next week.
And we will be broadcasting every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, coming to you live from San Jose. We hope you do tune in. Let your friends know. Thank you, everyone, that has gone to the Society of Novus Spiritus Facebook and liked it. We appreciate that. And actually, I have one quick closing prayer. It's called a comforting prayer. May God, our Mother and Father, and the Christ consciousness always be with us. On this journey, let us keep the white light of the Holy Spirit around us always. And even though we have written our chart, know that there are miracles that we can have. Amen. God bless you. Share the knowledge and keep connected.